Amen. So let's just pray and ask Holy Spirit, because we're going to be talking about him today. So we're just going to ask him to come. And I know he's already here. That worship was completely amazing. But we're just going to invite him to open our ears. Holy Spirit, put a mirror right in front of our faces so that we can see and hear what you are calling us to do, so that we will walk in obedience. Holy Spirit, it's all about you. We want more of you. Help us to make room in our lives for more of you. Every day, fill us. Every day, fill us so we can do what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, thank you for letting me come and talk to you today. I'm just going to share a little bit, first of all, about something God showed me about 10 years ago. If I had to be really specific, it was about 9.5 years ago. I had moved to Florida years ago, and in order to come back, I needed a job. So I got a job as a flight attendant, and after training in Houston for a couple months, I came back home and was trying to get my life together and just really needed a deeper relationship with God. I was still saved, but I was kind of like carnal. Does that make sense? And so I just took some time and I thought, God, I know what I need to do. I need to die to myself because there's too much Mary alive. And so I took about a week and a couple weeks to just fast and pray. And during that time of fasting, I had a dream. And I don't remember my dreams hardly ever. And so when I do remember my dreams, I believe or at least ask God if he's trying to tell me something. So this dream in particular was very vivid when I woke up, and I can remember now, just like I woke up that morning, the sounds and the sights and what God was doing and saying in that dream. So I'm going to share it with you, and I believe that God has been so faithful. He's waited this long, but he said, I'm not waiting anymore, and I want you to share this message. So I asked my dad, are you sure? My natural dad now. And he's like, yes, I said you could do it. I said, okay, well, if my father said I can do it, I can do it, right? And just with all of us, if our father says we can do something, we can do it. Amen. So I was a flight attendant, and I had just finished the training, like I said. And when you get on a plane next time, understand that that little girl that gives you a Coke, she has worked hard. She understands the ins and outs of that plane. She knows how to open that window and get you out. She knows what to do when there's a terrorist on the airplane. She looks little and cute with her Coke, but she can save your life. So when you're flying next time, just say thank you. Just bless her in Jesus' name, okay? But we just finished that training, and so planes were on my mind. I worked it every day. So when I went to sleep, I dreamt about a plane. Go figure, right? When I was boarding the plane, you know, I was a passenger, so I wasn't working. I said hello to the flight attendant, and I walked onto first class. I don't know about you, but every time you walk onto first class and you see these big, cushy chairs and these tray tables with the fine china on it, right, with their drinks already in their hands, you're not allowed to touch their overheads bins, right, because they're reserved for them. You're not allowed to even slow down in first class. You need to keep walking because you're not important. Isn't that how you feel? For some reason, you're like, oh. And I was walking, and I remember that feeling of, wow, I'm not important because I'm not in first class. And the curtain was pulled. You know, that curtain, right, keeps you from that bathroom. You're not allowed to walk up there. The curtain was pulled. So I'm walking through first class just feeling like, bleh. And I remember pulling the curtain aside, and when I got back into the economy or coach class, I was amazed. Everything had been completely remodeled, completely redone. There were couches along the sides of the airplane. There were those squishy, like, swivel chairs that you could spin around in and lean back on. There was, like, a concession stand that you could walk up to and get your snacks and your drinks. There was desks for your business people that you could pull out your laptop and work on the way to the wherever you were going. And I'm like, wow, now I feel sorry for them. They have no idea what's back here in the normal people cabin, right? They have no idea. Just then, I was getting in my seat and I'm getting my stuff together and we begin to move. And I look around and everybody's standing up. And everybody's bags are all over. The compartment doors are open and the chairs are back. And I'm like, oh my gosh, somebody's got to tell these people we're taking off. Why aren't they making the announcements? And I'm looking for the flight attendant and I look at the desk. And at that moment, I realize I was the flight attendant. I thought I was a passenger, but I was a flight attendant. So I was like, okay, I got to go to work. But in the business, there's three positions on a plane, A, B, and C. A has to make the announcements. A has to be in charge of the service. And when you first graduate training, you don't want to be A, because there are a lot of mama flight attendants that will look at you like you're doing something wrong if you try to be A. So I usually hid from that position. But I knew that day I was A, and I needed to get up and tell people to put their stuff away because we were about to take off. So I did it. I went up, took the microphone, and I began to tell everybody to get ready for takeoff. Well, we took off. We began to lift off. Oh, did I tell you about the windows? The windows were amazing. You know how only the person at the window can see out? And I love to look out at the clouds and the skies and the cities. Well, these windows were amazing. They bent. They were so huge. They started from the bottom and they came all the way up on the top and they were like 3 feet wide. You could see everything. So that when we were taking off, I remember thinking, look at how beautiful. Look at how amazing God's earth is, His creation. It's so captivating. It's so gorgeous. So we were taking off and all of a sudden, like that, we landed. I was like, oh my gosh. Anytime you land that quick, you know it's an emergency landing. And sometimes you don't know why. But as the flight attendant, it was my job to get everyone off the airplane. So I began to start the evacuation commands. Now, evacuation commands, as a flight attendant, are practiced over and over and over again. We know how to open the windows, and we know how to get you out. And so those commands began to come out of my mouth. Release seatbelts. Get out. Leave everything. Come this way, jump and slide, get away from the plane. You, help at the bottom, send people away from the plane. Come this way, jump and slide, get away from the plane. We memorized it, and 10 years later, I can still say it. Well, it was a very easy and orderly evacuation. Nobody got scared, nobody was hurt, and everybody got off the airplane. So after everyone's off, it's the flight attendant's job to stay in the plane and make sure there's nobody hiding in the bathroom or frozen because of fear. So we walked through the cabin again, and I walked up to first class to make sure it was empty. And everyone was still there. They were walking around with life jackets on. And I said, "What are you doing? We're not even near water." And they're blowing in their tubes, walking around in confusion. And I said, "Why aren't you off the plane?" And they said, "Well, we're waiting for paperwork from the corporate office to make sure we're supposed to get off." I said, "Okay, well, I'm out of here." And I remember that was my dream. So I asked God, because I knew it was prophetic. I said, "God, tell me what that means." And he said, "Mary, the church is going to look very different than it has in the past. That what we thought was the best, what we thought was special or important, isn't really all that. He has something better. He has a glorious church. That his children will be equipped and prepared to leave the plane, to get out into a world that needs them. It's an easy and orderly evacuation. It's no longer about just saving ourselves. We're called to go and preach the good news. Amen? For so many years, we've given that job to the preachers. We said, "Pastor Troy, you're fiery, you do it." Right? "You have an evangelist gift, you do it." But God's saying it's not just for the missionary anymore. It's not just for the preacher or the pastor or the teacher anymore. It's for the normal people. It's for the ones in coach class, right? We're supposed to be getting out of the church and telling the people about Jesus. So that's what we're going to talk about today. The good news and evangelizing with Holy Spirit. So first of all, what is the good news? Do we know? Because there's been some confusion lately on what we're supposed to be talking about. In John 3:16 and 17, and I know you're going to tune me out right now, so I made it in the voice translation. It's a narrative, so hopefully it'll keep your attention, but let's read it. For God expressed his love for the world in this way. He gave his only son so that whoever believes in him will not face everlasting destruction, but will have everlasting life. Here's the point. God didn't send his son into the world to judge it. Instead, he is here to rescue a world headed towards certain destruction. The good news is that Jesus made a way to the Father. Amen. He made a way to the Father. And we have Jesus right here. You know, there's way too much bad news floating around the church. Are we talking about bad news more than we're talking about the good news? All you have to do is click open your Facebook app to get the answer, right? Bad news everywhere. Bad news produces sad Christians and scared kids. Sad Christians and scared kids. In our movies, in our books, in social media, I think Christians are paying attention to the bad news a little bit too much. How many of you grew up in church? Okay. How many of you walked into an empty house and went, Mom? Right? For those of you that don't know what I'm talking about, you were afraid the rapture happened and you were left behind. I think my son just did that yesterday. Don't tell him I told you. But my other son, Dominic, he preached last week and he told me a story of when he was young. He would be so afraid of Jesus coming back because, you know, they want to get older and they want to have their life, you know. So it's intimidating and it's scary because we focus on the bad news too much. But he said, Mom, I used to, you know that scripture verse that says no one knows the time or the place? I took that scripture verse and I said, okay, I'm going to predict when Jesus is coming back so that he won't come back. So he would say, okay, Jesus is coming back in May. And then he had a free month, right? To not worry about Jesus coming back. So all of our bad news, man, we're producing sad Christians and scared kids. Let's start talking about the good news. Amen. Let's start talking about the good news. Jesus said in Luke 21:28, he was talking to his disciples, and they had asked him what was about to happen. And so he told them. And you know what? It wasn't such good news. It was about the destruction. But guess what he finished with? He finished with this. But when these things begin to take place, straighten up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Now, was Jesus telling them to stand up straight and keep looking at the clouds? Maybe, but probably not, because I think he wanted them to do other things. So I looked up that word, straighten up. And in the Greek, it's anakuputo. I probably said it wrong, so forgive me. But that word actually means to unbend, to rise, or to figuratively, it means to be elated. Jesus said, be elated when you see these things happening. Make yourself happy and proud. When you see this stuff start beginning to happen, it's about to be party time. I'm about to come and we're about to have a wedding feast. We're about to have a party. Everything that we live for is about to happen. Let's start talking about that. Let's start talking about him coming and bringing everything he's promised with him. Amen? But you might say, okay, well, what do you do with all the persecution? Well, I have an answer for that too. It's right from the Bible. Because persecution is coming, right? It's coming. It's okay. It'll be here in America. Are you ready? Well, in Acts 4, the very first case of persecution when after Jesus had gone happened to Peter and John. It was when they went into the temple and that man was sitting by the gate and he asked them for money. What did Peter and John do? He said, sorry, I don't have any money, but what I do have, I'll give you. And he healed them. Well, the religious people didn't like that very much. They didn't like that very much. And you know what they did? They put Peter and John in jail. And they told him that they told them, do not talk of this Jesus or we will do something about it. But they were afraid of the crowd because about 5,000 people got saved because of that one healing, right? So Peter and John, what did they do with that persecution, with those threats? They got out of jail the next day and they went to their community of believers and they prayed together. They prayed together. Look what they prayed about. Acts 4:29-30. And now, O Lord, hear their threats and give us safety? No. Security? No. He said, give us great boldness in preaching your word. Stretch out your hand with more healing power that miraculous signs and wonders may be done through your name, Jesus. They asked for more boldness. They asked for more boldness. They got together and they prayed and said, we need more of you, Holy Spirit, to do what you want us to do. Amen? And then in Acts 4:31, the results were after this prayer, the meeting place shook. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they began to preach the word of God with boldness. They prayed and they were filled and they went again. What is our response to persecution? More Holy Spirit. More Holy Spirit. Give us boldness. Make us bold as lions. Give us your miraculous power that we can go share the name of Jesus with everyone we want, everyone that wants it, everyone that needs it. So who are we going to? Who are we going to when we get out of this airplane? We're going to all of them. And who is going? All of us. Right? All of us. We're all going out. In Ephesians, Paul talked about all the ministry gifts. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastors, and the teachers. Do you know why they were given? To equip you. To equip you. Says it in 4:12, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ. Now we read that and we think, so you guys can be greeters and ushers. No. Right? That is an important job. And we are so thankful for you that serve this body. Because without you, we couldn't have church. But there's more to this word. That word, work of service, has its root in the word diakonos, which is minister or servant. Who are we ministering to? Our King. Who are we serving? Our King, Jesus. What has Jesus asked us to do? He asked us to go. Go into all the world and preach the gospel, right? So who are you? Say, I'm a minister of the gospel. So you are to go, and I'm going to prove it really quick. I found the scripture verse last night. Matt, are you here? Thank you for putting those in this morning or late last night. But in Acts 8:4, here's proof that it's not just the apostle and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists, but it's you. It says, but the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus everywhere they went. Did you know that you were a preacher? I didn't either. I don't necessarily like preaching. I told Jesus, it's not my personality. He said, change your personality. I said, okay, you got to help me with that one. You're all preachers of the gospel. You're all preachers of the gospel. Wherever you go, open your mouth and let the good news come out. because he wants us to win this world. He wants us to turn our worlds upside down. Amen? But first of all, before we go, we have to realize who we are. You know, identity is one of those topics, just like the love of God, that after you've been a Christian so long, you kind of go, yeah, okay. I know who I am in Christ. But most of us really don't. Most of us wake up in the morning, and if we want to get to the point where we know where we are in Christ, we have to, like, pray for hours and fast for a week and, you know what I mean? Understand that we have to work for this love. But Jesus is saying, you don't work for love. You work from my love. You wake up and you are a son. You are a daughter. You don't work to be a daughter. You don't work to be a son. You know, when we look in the mirror in the morning, we're getting ready, we should see Jesus. Wow, did I just say that? Yeah, I did. Am I there yet? No. But you know what? We can get there. We can get there because he lives inside of us. He loves us. He likes you. He likes you. That's even harder than understanding that he loves us, because he has to love us, right? But he likes you. In Romans 8:19, and I use this scripture verse every time I talk, it seems like, but it's my favorite one. It says, "For all creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed." It's so important that we understand who we are, because all of creation is waiting for you to get it. You know, when I used to listen to that verse and hear that verse, I would think creation, rocks and trees. You know that scripture verse that says, "The rocks will cry out if I don't"? I don't know why, but I just put creation with rocks and mountains. And I thought the earth is groaning. But you know what? Who's the creation? We are. Who's the creation? They are. They are secretly groaning for you to realize who you are. The lady at Giant Eagle that's going to check you out at the checkout, she's longing for you to realize you're a son or a daughter. Identity is so important. It's so key. And if you don't have it, don't give up. Work on it every day. If you have to read Romans 8 every single day for an entire year, do it. If you have to tell yourself who you are out loud, really loud, do it. We have to realize who we are in the body of Christ. Sons and daughters, they're waiting. We have to reflect, represent, and imitate. But we can only reflect what we're looking at. Right? Are we focused on our circumstances? Are we focused on the negative, our mess ups? Are we focused on what other people are saying, the bad news? Or are we focused on his word? Is our face in his face so that we can reflect Jesus to this world? We are representing him. We are representing him to the world. Dominic talked about it yesterday. When you get squeezed, what comes out? Yesterday, last week. When you get squeezed, what comes out? Right. When a Christian gets squeezed, Christ should come out. When Mary gets squeezed, sometimes Jesus doesn't come out. That means I need more. That means I need more, Holy Spirit. We need more of you, Holy Spirit. That should be our biggest prayer, should be our greatest prayer, so that when we get squeezed, Holy Spirit comes out. Imitate. We need to imitate him. I have a dog, and his name is Buddy. Does anybody in here know Buddy? A couple people know Buddy. I don't like Buddy. And for all of you dog lovers, please just love me for who I am, okay? Buddy is a difficult dog, right, Troy? He's very difficult. Don't sell me out. Buddy pees in my house. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he's trained. Well, yeah, it's a behavior issue. But when I yell at Buddy, I have another little Dominic. He's 5 years old. He's one of my foster children. And he yells at Buddy, just like me. So when I say, "Buddy, stop it," Dominic says, "Buddy, stop it." I'm like, "Buddy, go lay down." He's like, "Buddy, go lay down." And I'm like, oh, man, do I sound like that? I'm like, man, he's imitating me. Children imitate their parents. They watch what they do and they do the same thing. God wants us to imitate him. And it won't be a bad, it'll be good. In Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, it says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you're his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Wow, are we imitating him? Do we look like him? Are we acting like him? This scripture verse was huge when I read him offered himself as a sacrifice. Do I love sacrificially? Do I offer myself as a sacrifice? You know, I have a little bit of my dad in me, type A, a little bit. And type A people, if you are one of them, you'll know, have to be on time. They have to be. If they have an appointment at 11:30 and it's 11:31, I'm late. And it's very frustrating. So I have to do over. I have to start again. I got to be a better person tomorrow. That's how you feel as a type A person, right? Well, the Holy Spirit challenged me with this because he said, can you sacrifice that for me? If I want you to be late because someone needs to hear about my love, will you be late? And I said, yeah, I think so. I'm going to try. But all of us have our own sacrifice. What does our love sacrifice look like? Because he wants us to love like that. He wants us to love as a sacrifice. So how are we going to do this, Holy Spirit evangelism? There's so many methods. If you've been in church for a long time, you've been to conferences, you've been to classes, you've had Bible roadmaps written out, you've had tracts given to you, posters given to you, right? We've had evangelism outreach days, lots and lots of things, and they're all good. Guess what? They're all great tools, but there's only one method. Do you want to know what his name is? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is our method. He is our method, and Jesus said so in Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Holy Spirit gives us power to witness, power to tell people. You have been empowered to do what he's asked you to do. You have been empowered to do what he's asked you to do. You know, the Holy Spirit might tell you one day to go lay hands on someone that needs healing. He might tell you the next time to not pray for the person in the wheelchair, but just hug them. He might tell you to give someone a tract. You know, my parents were both saved with a tract. So I'm not knocking that. He might give you a word of knowledge for a teenager on the street. There's lots of ways, but one Holy Spirit. And without him, none of it works. Amen? None of it. None of it works. But all of it can be supernatural if he's involved. Now, last week we had a holiday called Pentecost. And because it was Memorial Day, we didn't really have time to celebrate it. But I want to scoot back a week and just talk about Pentecost for just a minute. You know, there's a significance there that Jesus said, wait for it. And I always wondered, why did he say wait for it? Why did they have to wait for the Holy Spirit? In Acts 1:4, he said, don't leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. And so when studying, my dad will always say, ask questions. That's the way the Holy Spirit talks and gives you revelation, is you ask questions. So I asked him, I said, Jesus, why did they have to wait 50 days for the Holy Spirit? And I began to study and find out what was going on, what they were doing possibly, why they were in the upper room. And on that day, the Jews, even now, today, celebrate a holiday. And it's called Shavuot. And I probably am not saying it right, so forgive me if I'm not. But Shavuot is a holiday that they celebrate the giving of the Torah, which is their book of the law. And I thought, so you gave us Holy Spirit the same day you gave the Torah. And I began to look at a big picture of what was happening then in that moment. And I love that Pastor Troy talked about the Passover because it worked out perfectly. The Passover was a holiday. And it just so happened that Jesus was killed on Passover. Do you think the enemy knew what he was doing? He was being used by the hand of God and turned that situation around to a prophetic act that Jesus was the Passover lamb, right? So let's scoot up 50 days and look in the upper room when the disciples were gathered together and they were celebrating the gift of the law. And what did Jesus do? He sent the gift of the Holy Spirit. Wow. The correlation between Jesus and the Passover, salvation, sacrifice, and eternal life. The correlation between the gift of the law and the gift of the Holy Spirit could be, I'm not claiming to know any theology, guidance, right? Direction. Holy Spirit gives us a way for relationship. In Jeremiah 31:33, but this is the new covenant that I will make with the people of Israel on that day, says the Lord. I will put my instructions deep within them, and I will write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. But it gets even better. Do you want to know how it gets better? I was doing some study on JewFacts.org. Don't laugh at me. But I'm going to read you this paragraph because it's really, really interesting. It is noteworthy that the holiday is called the time of the giving of the Torah rather than the time of the receiving of the Torah. The sages, who is they're the wise men, the sages point out that we are constantly in the process of receiving the Torah, that we receive it every day, but it was first given at this time. So let's think about what happened there with the Holy Spirit. That was the day the gift of the Holy Spirit came. But it was important for those disciples and those people in the upper room and for us to receive him every day. You know, there's so much emphasis put on being baptized in the Holy Spirit with the gifting of the evidence of speaking in tongues. And that is what's supposed to happen. But we don't talk about the need to receive the Holy Spirit every day. To wake up in the morning and say, Holy Spirit, I receive you. Fill me up. Fill me up so that when I walk out of here, we are in a partnership. We are working together. I am filled to overflowing with your presence, with your love, with your power, with boldness, so that I can do what you've called me to do. The receiving of the Holy Spirit is so vital to the mission that he's given us to do. So vital. Because the method is him. Remember? The method is him. So we have to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit. So when is this all supposed to happen? It's an easy question to answer. It's now, right? 10 years ago, probably should have started. 20 years ago, yep. You know what I mean? Let's jump into now. Let's jump into now and say, you know what? We are living a Holy Spirit setup. Everywhere we go, there are situations and people that are put in our paths as a setup by the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 6:2, it says, for God says, at just the right time, I heard you. And on the day of salvation, I helped you. Indeed, the right time is now. Today is the day of salvation. We've all heard that scripture verse, right? Right? At altar calls. Because when we read that scripture verse, we think about ourselves. We think about, okay, I better get saved today because I might die tomorrow, right? Let's think about it in terms of other people. Today is their day of salvation. It's not an accident that you met them at the park. It's their opportunity for salvation because you showed up. Holy Spirit sets up things around us all the time. The more we're filled with him, the more we walk into those situations with boldness and with power and with supernatural ability from Holy Spirit. But you know what? It's a process. We have this lady over in Lorraine. Her name is Jackie Latikos. Some of you might know her here. But everybody can't be Jackie Latikos tomorrow. That's what I said to Holy Spirit. She is like a bubbling brook of Jesus everywhere she goes. And she can reach anyone. The toughest criminals cry when she talks to them and shares God's love with them. And I said, Holy Spirit, it's not my personality. What did he say? Change your personality. So it's been a process. And he works with us. He meets us where we're at. He's going to be patient with us. He's going to let us grow. He's not letting us off the hook, but he's going to let us grow into it. Look, I'm a chicken. I shared with some of you at the Women's Day thing. When I was in my 20s at a women's conference, I was too afraid to go to the front desk to ask for more coffee, much less preach. By faith. So he will work with us. The last 6 months, he's been working with me just to smile first. You know, we live in Northern Ohio. People don't smile first, right? Down south, they're like, hi, honey, how are you? Up here, they're like, right? So Holy Spirit challenged me, start there. Start looking people in the eye and saying, hello. And it's been a challenge for me, but I'm getting better at it. And when I'm at the checkout, I ask them, how's your day been? How are things going? And they'll say, fine. Or one time a lady said, oh, not too good. My children keep texting me and they're making me nervous and her hand was shaking. And I got to pray with her. But you never know what God will do when we just open up. Just open up. So just start small. Just start where you're at. You know, we did treasure hunts at the School of Ministry. And we did a treasure hunt before our D.C. trip. We went on a prayer tour. And Halima, I saw you here earlier. Where are you? Halima prayed with me. Because a treasure hunt, if you don't know, it's just asking Holy Spirit to give you three clues of people that you're going to meet to share Jesus with them. And we know he can do that, right? So although it was a little uncomfortable for me, I'm getting used to it. But me and Halima prayed, and my clues were, one was an African-American woman with a blue uniform on behind a reception desk. The other one was a homeless guy. He was a younger guy, white, and he had like puffy hair. But he wasn't sitting next to a building. He was sitting in the middle of the sidewalk, not next to the road either. And then the last treasure hunt clue was Robin. So I was like, okay, well, I'll put that in my back pocket, you know, and don't want to get weird about it. So I don't like go, okay, I'm finding a Robin. Where's the Robin? You know, I just kind of let Holy Spirit do what he wanted to do. Well, we got down to DC and we stayed in this big, huge old church. And this church was really cheap and it was really cool, nice, very nice accommodations. However, there really wasn't much going on there. And so they had a security person at the front door because other than her, it was pretty much empty. So as we were coming in and out, we noticed that she was sitting behind a reception desk and she had a blue uniform. And yes, she was African American. And we were like, So the next day I bought her a Starbucks gift card and wrote her a little thank you note and just said, hey, thank you for watching over us. Thank you for allowing us to come in and out. We just want to bless you. And one of our students gave her a letter from Father's Love, and she read that letter and she began to cry. And we prayed with her, and God really touched her that day. And it was like, yes, God, you're so good, right? And then as we were leaving, nothing else had really happened the whole trip outside of everyone else's treasure hunts, which were completely cool. But as we were leaving that day, we were rushing to get to the van, and there was a bunch of ladies waiting for my husband and I. Bob and a couple other people were on our way walking to the van, and as I was walking with my husband, we had stopped to get something to eat, and so I had a to-go container in my hand. And I'm walking, and I see this piece of concrete which had roads this way and that way. And in the middle of the median was a young guy, white, bushy hair, and khaki on. And he was sitting there, and I'm like, oh my gosh, Adrian, I think that's my guy. And we keep walking, and he's like, well, are you going to stop? And I'm like, I don't know what to say. Holy Spirit didn't give me anything to say. And we keep walking, and that, by then we're like 50 to 100 feet away. And I look in my hand, and I go, oh, I have food. I have food. And so needless to say, after about 50 more feet, I grabbed Caitlin, one of my girls from the west side, and I said, Caitlin, will you go with me? Because I want to go give this guy some food and talk to him about Jesus. So she went with me. I talked to him. His name was Ramsey. He just told me his story. He wanted the food. He was grateful. And he told me about his biggest prayer request, which was his little girl that he hadn't seen for a couple years. And he wanted me to pray that they would be reunited. And so we prayed, and he cried a little bit, and it was really cool how Holy Spirit is just so thorough. He takes care of everything. As I was praying, Caitlin was standing back, and another guy was making fun of everything that was happening and kind of mocking and taunting us. Well, just at that moment, Bob comes back, and he just covers us. And it was like Holy Spirit said, no, I got you. I got you. And it was so cool. So anyways, really good story. We went home, drove the 6 hours to go home. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning. We decided to take the vans back to Enterprise because we didn't want to get up so early, didn't have transportation, all of that. So we left the vans there. And in the morning, while I was getting ready for work very slowly, I thought maybe I should call Enterprise and make sure the vans are okay, that we didn't use too much mileage or whatever. So I called, and the girl on the phone said, thank you for calling Enterprise. This is Robin. Can I help you? And I went, and I'll be really honest with you, that was a fail because I just didn't have words to say. But you know what? Holy Spirit was just telling me, Mary, we can do anything together. We can turn this world upside down together. All we need to do is be filled by him. To fill up with him. I could tell you story after story, but I won't bore you. But the one time I will say this is that sometimes those fail moments for me turn into like challenges. Like, oh, I'm going to beat this part of my personality. And he reminded me one day that, Mary, this isn't a challenge. I love them. I thought, you're right, God. You love them. It's less about me and my personality and my braveness and my boldness, and it's more about them and your love for them. In 1 John 4:17, it says, as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we won't be afraid on the day of judgment. You know, there's a day of judgment for Christians too. Kind of like the parable of the talents. What did you do with the gifts that you were given? Did you receive it every day? But that scripture verse is amazing because it says, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. In the process of perfecting this love, he is patient with us. And he loves us through it, but we are getting somewhere. And that place where we're getting is to be like Jesus here in this world. Another version says, because as he is, so also are we in this world. We've got to start today where we are. It's a partnership with the Holy Spirit. We are representing him to this world. The lost children are waiting for you to realize who you are. Go and do what he did. preach the good news, heal the sick, raise the dead. It's all the work of our service unto the King. Everywhere you go, Jesus is. When you show up, Jesus shows up. So I say to you today, release your seatbelt. Get out. Leave everything behind. And come this way, jump and slide, and get away from the plane. It's time to turn this world upside down. We can do it, guys. We can do it. He wants so to fill us. We can do it. You know, this summer, we're taking a break from our ministry school, but we're going to have an evangelism class, Holy Spirit evangelism class. So if you're interested in it, sign up. I don't have the exact times and dates and everything, but we're going to learn about evangelism, and then we're going to go and activate. Because you've heard us say, faith is spelled R-I-S-K, right? And it's good to do it together, because I'm not going to be mad at you when you fail, because you're not going to be mad at me when I fail, right? So let's do it together. If you're interested, you can sign up at some point this morning, but I want to give everyone in here an opportunity to know Jesus. Because that's the most important thing. It's the most important decision you'll ever make in your life, is to have Jesus Lord of your life. He is the way to the Father. He is the way to the Father. So with everybody's eyes closed and their heads bowed, if you don't know Jesus for yourself, if you haven't surrendered your life to Him, and you want to do that today, I just want you to raise your hand. Make Him Lord of your life. Okay, if everybody's saved in here, my next step is... For all of us that love to celebrate the gift that was given in the Holy Spirit, but maybe we haven't been so good at receiving every day, can we make a commitment? Can we make a new commitment to receive Him every day? To walk with Him? To listen to His whispers? To His movement of go talk to them? To work on the part of ourselves that maybe aren't comfortable doing certain things, sharing the gospel. He doesn't care if we're uncomfortable, right? He's the comforter. Can we make a commitment today to be filled by Him every day? Let's stand as we begin to worship. We're just going to do that. Where you're at, just ask Jesus and ask Holy Spirit to fill you up more. And altar ministers, if you could come up, and I'm just going to ask everyone who needs healing or who needs to be saved or filled with the Holy Spirit, you are welcome to come and pray with someone. But let's just take a few minutes to worship before you leave today. There's enough in here to win the city of Cleveland. You know, the disciples lived this, and the whole nation of Rome claimed Christianity as their government-sponsored religion in a matter of years. We shouldn't be seeing the opposite, right? We should be seeing an infiltration of God's love in every area of society. So, Holy Spirit, we come to you again today. And we ask you to fill us up with more. Fill us up with more of you. We receive more of you, more power to witness and tell people. more of your supernatural strength, God, to see healings and miracles happen in front of us, Lord Jesus. Give us boldness, Father, and joy as we go out and share the good news. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit.